get started. This is the May 4th, 2023 Public Safety Committee meeting. Present here today is Alderman Trancier, Alderman Tarullis, Alderman Merrick, Alderman Soling, Deputy Chief Carlisle.
Yes, sir.
Marlis, our minutes taker, and?
Jen Rakes.
Can you spell that for Marlis, please?
Sure. R-A-K-A-S.
Lots of emails from you.
I know. I don't want to be a big crab.
I don't believe there's anyone joining us on Zoom today.
Nope, I just checked and I didn't see any.
Okay, well then we will get started with, PS 2023-08, the monthly report review for January, February, and March 2023.
All right. Well, I will try to hustle through these for you guys.
Minutes. I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you, Matt. Well, first, there are citizen comments.
Oh, gosh. Okay. We've spoken, Mr. Solis and I, about Baseline Road and just concerns that I have about speed, and I know there's procedure and all that stuff. And so first I want to thank the police department, because you can almost tell when someone is sitting somewhere on the road, because it's noticeably, when I see, I'm like, gosh, everybody's kind of slow today, then I start looking for the squad. And so the presence has really helped with that. But more than anything, I was trying to understand what the criteria is for changing the speed limit. It's 55 right now, unmarked, because it's, you know, just a country road, and it ends up being a cut through so people can avoid lights and stuff like that. And but in front of my house, I know you had a, you know, close call last summer. I've had a number of close calls just trying to turn into my driveway. And so have family and friends visiting, and I would love to find a way to possibly change the speed limit in front of the two residential homes that are closest to 47. I know a speed study was done, and I know that the average is not even above 55. I think that might have to do a lot with me and my family pulling in and out of our driveway. It's, you know, not going very fast, but in any case, people slow down when they approach those and then speed up as they, you know, leave them. But in any case, my big reason is to try to figure out how and if there's any possibility that we can change that to 45 in front of the residences there. There's only two of them, so.
What's the distance between the intersection of 47 west to the residences?
47 west, I would say, I haven't measured it, to be quite honest with you, and I can do that. I would say maybe a mile.
Okay.
So, do you have a guess?
It's pretty accurate. Close to about a mile.
Yeah, it's not far, but what happens is they're coming east, they're flying, you know, and people heading west, they don't have a whole lot of time to pick up speed, you know, before they get to, they'll still pass, you know, use my driveway as a passing lane, which is troublesome. And if I could go for broke, I'd love to have no passing lane in front of the house, but, you know, I'm not gonna be greedy. So, but that's...
Have they resurfaced your road up there yet?
Not yet, but it's in the works, and that's kind of what has started myself trying to get involved, because I know it's much harder to have something repainted once it's painted, and I just thought I at least should try now before it's done. And then also we'll be connecting. We connect to Ash, which connects to Eldemain, which will be part of that, you know, Commerce Corridor, and that's concerning as well. And I would just like to maybe start a precedent before all that opens up and it becomes, you know, a free for all down there. So,
okay.
That's not here.
Thank you
for listening.
So, Eric, have any of that stuff?
I had a conversation with Bart and with Brad.
okay.
It's what, like last fall?
Yeah.
And the parameters that they gave for changing it was we couldn't just do it. It had to be a study by the county and then the state. And then basically they all had to sign off on it. And there was really no merit because there's not as much traffic. And that's when they did the study, say there's not that much traffic and it's not as fast as we think it is, and it kind of died on the vine there. But I suggested to Jen that she come here and address it. Right. And if that's something we can start to move forward to, maybe something we ought to really take a look at, especially if we're going to repave it like we are.
Right.
If they're doing 65, 70 when it's all tore up, now that it's going to be a nice clean road, they're really going to fly down there.
That's on the schedule for this year, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. If you don't, can I still say something?
Absolutely.
I don't want to interrupt, but I know Eric at one point had said that Galena might be being resurfaced or widened maybe next year. And so he said, you might be busier that next summer when Galena is being worked on, because that does connect, you know, east of 47, it becomes 30. And so it's a major connection there. And he's like, oh, you'll probably be busier then. And big alarms are going off in my head, then I'm like, oh my gosh, busier. And it's not, like I said, since those signs went up, the speed study, it's noticeably quieter on that road. And so I don't know, like, people slow down when they see it, like it's being recorded or something. I don't know. I don't care. But they're slower. And so that's nice. I enjoy that. But I'm just trying to think ahead of how things could change.
So. And Garrett, Chief Jensen, I had you guys put the trailer up there to kind of monitor the speed.
I was digging through. I know the speed study's in here. The average speed was just a touch underneath the speed limit.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I can tell you from my experience. When I'm in that big and black and white marked squad car, everybody's 10 and 2 and everything's great, right? When
sure.
I drive home in my personal car, things appear a little bit different.
Sure.
So right. One of the things that we did do is that recently we purchased three portable speed signs. I don't know if you guys have seen them yet. They're small that we can put on a post someplace in addition to the two speed trailers that were up at your place. Because
sure.
Some of our concern was, are folks slowing down because they see those signs?
Sure.
And are we getting an accurate reading?
Sure.
So this past month, we just got those three signs in, and we're working to make sure all our software is up and working.
Interesting.
But we'll be putting them up there. And just so you guys know, too, that's an area that I know Chief Jensen had said, I know the traffic study came back where there's not
sure.
the concerning speeds,
right.
but I still want our officers up there as much as possible. So
yeah.
that's one of ours that's,
I appreciate
it's
that.
On top of our list of just that area.
Yeah.
And maybe more information that you're looking for. The funny part about that road is too, the north side of it is Kane County.
I know.
And the south side of it is Kendall County.
Right.
But we have jurisdiction in both. And we've never actually written a ticket in the Kane County part of that. I think we've had some incidents there.
Yeah.
But we're talking to Kane County, trying to figure out how exactly we go about enforcing that when it's on the other side of the road, which is a really strange thing because that's our city limit there,
It is
on the radar,
Thank
as far
you.
As changing it. These guys are the ones that you talk to because, I mean, that stuff's set by statute,
sure.
Just because of where you're at.
Right.
Unless we can prove something, the data just didn't show.
Okay.
But I think we're going to try to make another pass at it with those signs that are less obvious and see kind of
sure.
where we go. So.
Well, I appreciate your efforts, and I just thought that now's the time for me to say something, and if there can be change, now's the time to try to do it. So that's why I'm here.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah. We'll move on to minutes from our March 2023 Public Safety Committee meeting. Does anyone have any corrections, additions, deletions to make to the minutes from March 2023?
Nope.
Accepted as presented. New business, Public Safety 2023-08, monthly reports for January, February, March 2023.
That's me. Well, first and foremost, I wanted to say officially thank you guys for saying yes, because this building is great. I love it. I'm getting my steps in, but it's great. So let me try to hustle through these things for you guys. There's some stuff that I kind of wanted to highlight as I was digging through. First and foremost, under personnel information, overtime hours worked. You'll see pretty consistent the same numbers with our HIDA CPAT and our HIDA CIT. Our state police guys work some long hours. And so just keep in mind that stuff is reimbursed by HIDA, but our guys put in pretty good chunk every month of our overtime hours are with HIDA through CPAT and CIT. my favorite part of this monthly report are these community policing initiatives. They're always, it's kind of a roundup of the month. For January, I'm not sure if you guys remember, we had the investigation with the shots fired that ended up striking a residence. We were able to determine that that individual had no criminal intent. He was shooting his gun off and just in a very, very poor direction. So there was no sort of argument that came from it. It was just one of those things that caught the public's attention, and we tried to jump on it.
That was the one on the south end of town?
Yes, sir.
By Greenbrier?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, I think what happened is he was aiming at the pond, and we wondered if it ricocheted off the surface of the water, because bullets would do that. Mm-hmm. And he ended up, you know, ended up not being good for him. But I'm glad no one was hurt. I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to meet Officer Schwartz. He came on with us back in January. Officer Schwartz is a good guy. He's a hard worker, and he's kind of a no-nonsense guy. He doesn't smile a lot, so I like him. He's got a good demeanor as a police officer, so he's been fitting in great. He was a drone pilot, and he was CIT certified.
Cool.
So that CIT is a crisis intervention 40-hour training. He came to us CIT certified, and he came to us as a drone pilot. So we've got at least one pilot on every shift. We've got one pilot for our detective unit, and now Jacob is an extra pilot for us. So we've got six on staff, so which was really, really good for him. And then the other thing in January was we started a chaplains program with the Kendall County Chiefs of Police Association. We had 14, I believe two decided they were moving to Florida, so good for them. But we worked as a group to get chaplains to be able to come in and just be a help to our guys, whatever they need, or our families in the area. So we got our chaplains program up and running, which has been pretty well received. I guess that kind of hits our highlights for the community stuff. Going to, you know, our training time, our training and conference, and it was up to 348 hours for January. That was because a couple of us had attended the ICS classes that we needed to for our command staff. The incident command reporting, there were so many pages we had to work through with that stuff. I don't know how guys do that for a living, but it was a lot. So our training time was a little higher in January. Crashes are staying pretty consistent. You guys will see. It's always weekdays, and it's always those high traffic times. You know, in January, that 6 o'clock in the morning till 10, and then again at 2 until 6. It's just those afternoon hours when everybody's trying to get to and from work. It's still our times that we're just kind of, we're seeing a lot of minor fender benders, thankfully. And then we get into our directed patrol areas. It's always, you know, you'll always see our 71, 47, 34 are the areas that our guys are hitting pretty hard. You'll see the numbers, they're pretty consistent. I'm sure you guys always see our warnings are a lot higher than our citations. We're trying to just get compliance through that, but our guys, they stay pretty diligent about it. Here was the results for the baseline that we were talking about. The average speed westbound was, or I'm sorry, the average speed eastbound was 52. And then I believe this is a misprint. The bottom line should be westbound. And the average speed westbound was a 47, which would lead it for those folks speeding
down.
But like I said, I think what we want to do with those new signs is stick them back out there, because we can actually blank them out so people don't even notice them. And I'm hoping we can maybe get a little bit more accurate reading about what's happening up there. Traffic enforcement. Our numbers are staying kind of right where they were. You guys will see in March they jumped up, but that's staying pretty consistent. Detectives, they ended up getting busy as the year rolled on. There wasn't too much to note in January. We get into our crime reporting. I'm not sure if Chief Jensen had mentioned this to you guys, but we had switched from the UCR codes to the NIVERS. And the reporting requirements change. Like, for example, say we had a traffic crash where the person was wanted and the other person didn't have a driver's license. used to be that would be one report, and then we would document those three incidents. Now it turns into three reports because of the way the reporting requirement changed. So we'll take a report number for the traffic crash, we'll take a report number for the warrant arrest, and then we'll take a report number for whatever else. So it looks like we had three incidents, but really they're all in one incident, and that's just the new reporting requirement. So as the year wears on, you guys will probably see a change in the summaries of these offenses going up, you know, or down in some cases. Just for example, someone breaks into your house, breaks into your neighbor's house, breaks into the neighbor's house. Used to be that was three reports. Now, because it was one continuing course of conduct, it ends up being one report. So we might have three victims for one report. So it's a long way of saying that these numbers may get a little different, you know, as you guys are looking at it over the course of the year. Crisis intervention calls. Our guys are doing a good job. The one that I really pay attention to is these involuntary committals. Those are the ones where we ask folks to go to the hospital even if it's against their will. Our guys have their criteria that they follow. It's one of those where I ask our guys, hey, if you feel that they need to get some services or it's going to be a bad day for them, then that's when we kind of pull that trigger. I brought one of these for you guys. I just wanted to pass it around to you. Over the years, I've seen that these our follow-ups, our CIT follow-ups, and our car follow-ups are trending down. And at first, I thought making sure our guys are following up with everyone, but I think they're just getting the rhythm of actually providing the information to our citizens while they're on scene instead of having to follow up. Sergeant Fitzmeyer and I kind of made these, and this is what our guys are handing out. So it's all of our mental health resources, our community resources that we vetted for our citizens to just take advantage of. Obviously, we can't force them, but we made those cards. So they're in all the squad cars for our guys. When we respond to those mental health calls, we're making sure that we're handing those out as well. Operations for squad cars. Obviously, gas got really expensive on us this year. So our mileage and our gallons used have stayed pretty consistent, thankfully, over the colder months. Gas went down a little bit. Maintenance cost, January was pretty high. You guys will see there's $32.60 in there for our maintenance expense. That wasn't a lot. It was just a few that were really expensive. Just some front-end tie rods, this, that, and the other. So keeping all those squad car runnings, they get expensive. That's January. I'll try to speed up for you guys. These other two, you got places to be. But the overtime hours for February, again, HIDA, CPAT, were our big ones. Community policing, we did our blood drive. Roman Sobing is one of our officers, and he's just incredible at working with Special Olympics and Cop on Top, our blood drives. The guy donates his time. He organizes all that stuff, and he's just super well-liked. So he got a pretty good turnout. Anytime you can get officers to voluntarily poke themselves with a needle, that's a good day. So I was proud of Roman for doing that. 211 got introduced. That's the referral hotline for it. It's kind of like a catch-all for, right? We're not real sure how to help a gentleman have a handicap ramp installed or something. We can call 211, and they can get them in touch with resources. So I believe that's actually on that card, too. And then our detectives did some good work. We had a sexual assault case that our guys worked, and those are never fun for anybody. But they stayed professional and got it done and got charges on a gentleman. You know, you're talking 10 counts of a Class 2, 4 counts of a Class X. Those are pretty serious charges. You know, so I was proud of our investigations. Those guys stayed on top of it and did a really good job. Oh, and then the one that I did want to highlight, if you guys look at that Facebook post from, February 22nd, Officer Browski playing the piano. I've been trying to talk him into playing that piano at Cedarhurst for months. And he's a pretty good piano player, he just didn't want to do it. And so finally he went over there and did it. And I think that was one of our biggest Facebook posts. I forget how many, it was a couple of thousand hits we had on that Facebook post of Kyle playing the piano. So that was definitely outside of his comfort zone, but I was pretty proud of him for doing that.
Beethoven or Mozart?
I don't know what he was playing. But that's the type of music he would play for sure. But we got roasted a little bit. We'll have to take a video next time. So our training hours down just a touch, but that, like I said, that was because we were in that several day long class. I think that's the reason those numbers were a little higher the first month of the year. And then crashes were up. I believe we had 60 in February. It's not the greatest weather in February either. But the same thing. Weekday, you know, high traffic times, or when we're getting them. You know, and I'm sure by now you guys are familiar that 47-126 is just a bad intersection for us. You know, it's never a bad one, really, knock on wood. It's just a lot of rear enders there. Traffic enforcement is pretty consistent. Those guys are keeping an eye on our major roadways there. So I did highlight. I wanted to highlight our detective squad. I had mentioned to you guys the earlier case, but it's worth noting. I want those guys to have credit. You know, we've got a great town, but those guys are dealing with some pretty decent crimes. The first one I had mentioned. The second one there, Detective Johnson, with the armed robbery, armed violence, mob action, battery and theft. Those guys are getting some things that are pretty, pretty legitimate nowadays. And one of the things I thought was neat about this is just working with marshals and stuff. Those guys are developing their network outside of just Yorkville to work with different agencies, which is good. So those guys have gotten busy. But I've been proud of the work that they're doing. And then you can kind of see it here on their cases assigned and criminal cases closed. I circled that. 34 criminal cases closed in February. They were assigned 36 to close 34 cases. They're doing work. You know, that's pretty good. So I was proud of those guys for getting some cases closed. Our involuntary committal, we only had one. Our car follow-ups, you guys will notice some months those car follow-ups bump up pretty high. And those are our families who are in our car program that they want those follow-ups either every couple months or every 6 months or every year. We let the families decide, but it'll come around those months where you'll see those numbers really bounce up. And that's when our guys make a point to go visit our families, check in with them, make sure nothing's changed. Squad car operations, our expenses went down. That $1,300 is pretty consistent. I've since I took this new office, I started paying those bills, and it's hard to get comfortable paying that sort of bill. My family budget's not like that, so getting all those cars running. But $1,300 is pretty consistent for us. That's kind of where I see it. I had a lot, so we're kind of back to normal with that. And then, all right, so we'll get into March. Thanks for being patient with me, guys. So I'm going to stop picking on HIDA and CPAD because they're still up there high with our expenses. Our community stuff was Roman again with Bear doing our Special Olympics Polar Plunge. We did it up at the Sports Dome, which is fun. And what's neat, what I've seen change over the 16 years for us is our families are coming out. My kids are there playing with our other officers' kids and stuff. And so it's kind of cool to see everybody showing up. We had a couple of athletes out there, and everybody took a dive in the dunk tank, so it was good. And then I noticed they mentioned St. Patrick's Day. It was absolutely freezing out for that parade. I couldn't make it. Pat was down there, but it was cold, and people still turned out. So
I was there.
That was good. And then do you guys recall that crash that happened on 47 north of Galena where the four cars went off the road and wound up in the creek there?
Yeah.
So that ended up being an intoxicated driver. But the other, what happened was he crosses the lanes, he's headed on, all the other motorists try to ditch it in the ditch, and that's the way he was going, so it just all kind of spilled over into the creek. What was scary about it was I checked my email, and I have two emails from Fox Chicago and Channel 9 News asking for a news release. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? So they had heard that there were cars upside down submerged in the water with entrapment for people who are entrapped. Well, I talked to our officers, and they're like, nobody's upside down, nobody's stuck in the car, and the water's about ankle deep. So that's what they had, and that's what the reality was. But that scared me for a second because I thought we were going to have news helicopters hovering. But thankfully, nobody was seriously injured, and those guys got through it. And then March was when our storms came through. That wasn't fun. You know, thankfully our community was spared for the most part. So it was just kind of that time of year. Oh, and then the last thing, not to make this longer than it needs to be, but that post from March 14th, the Happy Pie Day where everybody was eating pie, we got roasted on that for having the Christmas tree in the background in March. And it was one of those things where we're happy to be in a new building, and we had forgotten that thing was up, and you get used to seeing it. So everybody was wondering why we had a Christmas tree up in March. So
every day is Christmas.
That's right.
And pie's good every day too.
Oh yeah. And then the dog posts always get a ton of play. Those German Shepherd puppies that we took over to animal control, actually one of our officers ended up adopting one. So he went over after work and did the whole adoption process, and he's got a cool little German Shepherd now that he's driving around. So, and you guys can kind of peruse through, but our guys attended plenty of meetings and got their training in and everything. Our crashes are still on point. Weekdays, those high travel times just tend to get us. And then I think one of the last couple things I want to show you guys was just our cases assigned. You'll notice those guys got 55 cases assigned to them in March, but 40 of them were background investigations. It's just that time of year for coaching and all that stuff. So on top of their investigations, those guys have been pretty swamped with backgrounds for this building and coaching and stuff. So you guys will see that jump, but most of that was background stuff. And then I did note, too, in our patrol arrest, if you kind of go past the reporting, the crisis intervention, I didn't see anything really stuck out to me, but our patrol arrest, they had 37 total arrests in March, which was a lot for our patrol guys. And that it's our young crew just out doing work, you know, making traffic stops, trying to get the traffic numbers down, and they run across warrants and suspended license and no valids and stuff like that. So I thought that was a pretty good number for a month. And our expenses for our squad cars were down still, which was good. And I'm not sure if she filled you guys in, or I'm not sure if you guys even care, but I was pretty proud that I was able to save enough out of our budget on our squad maintenance to cover our overage on the gas. Which was good, because we were over about 10 grand on gas, but I was able to be under about 10 grand on our maintenance. So we were able to kind of balance that out, which was good for us. So that's January, February, March.
So anybody have any questions? No? Always good work. So we will now move on to PS 2023-09, adjudication reports for February, March, and April of 23.
Right. So adjudication, February, the one to note on that docket from the 27th, you guys will notice that 461 Honeysuckle address, despite our best efforts, their dog continues to run outside of what the ordinance requires. Mm-hmm. So our officers are...
her name was on a couple of pages.
Yes. Yeah. So our officers are, you know, we've tried our best to inform and correct that. So we've just, you know, our officers are doing what they have to do. The docket from the 6th, March 6th, you guys will notice the one that stuck out to me was that disorderly conduct at 797 Game Farm Road. That was, you know, that was an argument, it was a fight that Officer Goldsmith handled. I didn't see anything really outstanding to me on the 13th. The 20th, you guys will see several of them from that 100 block of the Bertram Drive. That was a dog that had bit another dog. And our officers spent a little bit of time on this one just trying to make sure that everybody was satisfied with the service they were getting. And we wound up writing 4 citations. The owner was understanding and complied with everything that we asked, but it was one of those things that it took a little longer than typical for us. And then going to the 27th again, there's another one there for a disorderly conduct at the high school. And that was kind of the same nature as the last one. But we had a few of those pop up.
It's the same one.
Is it the same one?
Yeah. The first one was continued.
Oh, okay.
And then,
yeah.
You see the citation number, the case number, it's the same one.
Okay.
It's just blacked out on the
on
the
second sheet. Yep, you are correct. And then these get into April.
Yep.
I'm looking at, let's see, I want to make sure I got the right one. April 10th. I don't know if you guys ever come across this or you take a look at it, but you'll see that retail stuff for shoplifting. We give our officers discretion. You know, obviously they could be charged criminally if they want to. Depending on a criminal history, the person's level of compliance with us, they'll choose to go one way or the other. So if you guys see those retail thefts pop up, you know, sometimes those are the ones that the officers choose to just go through the adjudication process. Yeah, on the 17th, that was the second disorderly between two people. One chose to continue it, the other chose to plead liable to it. But that was one that had happened at the business that's down there at 47 and 71, the bar down there at the corner.
Roadhouse.
Yeah. Yep. So they got into it at Roadhouse, and one paid up, and the other chose to continue it. So we'll see where that goes. And then I think, is this the one? Yeah, at the bottom of that docket, you guys will see the alcohol sales from those couple of different businesses. You know, our officers were going through doing their alcohol compliance checks. We had a few businesses that failed that, which I'm sure you guys are aware of, but those are the citations. Everyone was, respectful and compliant with them when they came in. So they were getting that taken care of. I didn't see anything on the 24th that was of note, and that's our adjudication stuff.
Any questions?
I was concerned. I understand you guys were out doing some noise level checks too. Did you guys have any violations with that?
I haven't heard.
Okay.
That we had any. I know the one of the problems that we're trying to work through is the bass, because that low decibel mm-hmm. noise doesn't register on our noise meters like a high-pitched one would. I know that our city administrator's been kind of working with building and zoning to figure out a different tool that would help us do that, but they're pretty expensive. But I haven't heard that we've had a violation where we had to cite. Typically, if they get a reading, they'll go tell the person to turn it down, you know, or the business to turn it down, and then go from there. But I know that was one that's on our radar for, you know, we've got a few businesses that tend to, you know, hit that noise level a lot. So
for informational purposes, Yorkville Pins was one that was repeatedly getting dinged. I've been working with the owner, and we've got that figured out. The way they had everything mic'd up, their drums were being picked up by their vocal mics. So it was reverbing through the whole entire place, and being a metal building, acted as a big amplifier. So they changed the positioning of the drums and bought a fiberglass shield that goes around the drums. Since then, I haven't had any calls or any complaints, and I don't think you guys have had any.
No, that's one that I have to pay attention to, because it just questions will be asked, and I haven't heard anything. So that's good.
Yeah, hopefully we got that solved.
No news is good news. Is there any more questions for Deputy Chief? No?
No.
All right, we'll move on to PS 2023-10, the body cam in-car camera grant update.
So I feel like I'm jumping in at the tail end of a conversation. I'm not sure what you guys have discussed or not with our body cameras. So
Chief told us they pulled the grant application because of some statutory language that ran afoul of the application. So.
Yeah. So, and that's pretty much it. Just to kind of give you the cliff notes of it is that the Safety Act statute tells us that we can only maintain body camera footage for 90 days, and then it must be destroyed if it doesn't have any sort of evidentiary value. The grant tells us that in order for us to to use the grant, have the grant, that we must maintain it for 2 years, which is, it conflicts with one another. The other issue that we ran into is that our body cameras sync up with our in-car cameras. And so it all gets dumped into the same program. So you've got two streams of video, one body cam, one vehicle, and you can't separate them. So for us to delete the body cameras, we would have had to delete the in-car camera stuff also, and we couldn't do that. Then the other thing was that the cameras are leased. It was just a better financial decision for our agency. And the cameras the in-car cameras we own, but we can't, we couldn't in good conscience apply for the grant knowing that we weren't going to be able to satisfy what their requirements were in the grant. So Deputy Chief Michael Losick, we shared an office at the old building, and he worked for days and days trying to figure out a way for us to do it that was ethical and legal and everything, and it came to the point where we're like, you know what, we can't in good conscience sign on the dotted line saying we're going to do this knowing that we can. So we chose to pull it for what we have, you know. So I know that Chief has worked with Montgomery and Oswego with some lobbyists because they kept promising us that they're going to change the statute down in Springfield. So they're working to maybe change that for the future, but as it stands, we got to that point where we couldn't be dishonest about anything, so we pulled the grant, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. We'll figure out how to get more money to pay for the state-mandated body cameras.
Yeah.
Here's an order. We're not giving you any money to pay for it, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it is what it is. The body cameras and the squad cameras, do they download automatically when you get close to them?
They do.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Yeah. So they will, we've got temporarily right now, this is going to shock you, the hardware is on back order, just like everything else in life right now. So we've got it temporarily, but yeah, as they pull in, it automatically starts uploading, and they get everything. And then the body cameras, they have a docking station just inside the door. They can pop them in there and stuff. But it's pretty quick. It's great when it works. Until you get the phone call at 2 a.m. saying nothing's downloading.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, let me go behind my couch and flip the switch that I turned off the body cameras, you know. So
go back to the days when I was prosecuting. They had the video recorder in the back of the car with the VHS cassette. Yeah.
Yeah. Those body cameras have been great. No one's complained about them. They're an excellent tool for us, you know.
Good.
So.
Wonderful. Any questions about the body cameras, the grants, or anything? No?
Nope.
Any old business? No? Additional business?
No.
I've been getting emails from residents in Prestwick, off of Ashley. Is that the name of it? Is that where it's at?
Ashley. I've
communicated with Chief Jensen and Bart. Let me double check.
It's about the school?
It's about the school and the traffic at the school. I know that you guys are working on it with the school, but the last couple weeks I've probably gotten 5 or 6 emails about traffic, and I think it's Prestwick.
Yeah.
I think Prestwick, it was dead end, but then they extended it, and if that's still dedicated, called Prestwick. But just so you guys know, and I know you guys have sent squads up there and talking with the school board.
Yeah, so that was the last I heard. I know Bear had gone up there and talked to the superintendent. He was going to put something out to his students and staff.
Right.
I know last year, gosh, it might have been a year before that, same thing. I actually located one of those students, went and talked to them and their family, and I don't think that changed too much. But
no.
We'll have to get some officers out there, you know.
Tickets get expensive, especially for 17-year-olds.
I think they're $165 now.
For a speeding ticket?
Yeah.
Oh, it's more than that.
Is it?
Oh, it's $250 and change for court supervision.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just looked at one yesterday. And I about fell over when I saw that. Yeah. That's expensive.
It's very expensive. So, yeah, I guess if they don't change their driving behaviors, Judge Colosimo will. So, you guys have any additional business before we...
One more thing, just kind of reminded me. I sent an email to Chief Jensen. He hasn't responded yet. And Bart, we're having an issue on Sunset down at the cul-de-sac, the end of the cul-de-sac there, right behind where the ball fields are, with buses and people parking. And there was a request put in to have a no parking sign put in there. And there's problems with students parking at the end of that cul-de-sac, blocking driveways up and down the streets. I'm not sure if that falls under this jurisdiction, but...
Is that like during school hours, or when is it?
During school hours, but more predominantly like on weekends and after school when there's soccer and baseball games.
Yeah.
There's quite a few buses from other schools parking at the end of that. There's that little easement, there's that little walkway that goes right to the soccer fields. It's actually private property, and so the two homes right there are getting ready to rip that sidewalk out, and they don't want any access. They didn't want to do that, but they can't get in their driveways. And
like, and their buses from other schools?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Bart sent a email over to the superintendent of the schools to try to rectify that, but I committed to trying to get a no parking sign, or even just like during school events or something along that line. So something I want to keep in the back of my mind. So
I would tell the Eric as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other business? No.
Nope.
We will stop at 6:40 in the PM.